Welcome to the Basic Bogeys Podcast. We release new episodes every Thursday. If you like what you hear, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and subscribe on YouTube.
We can be found at Basic Bogeys on all platforms.
What's up, everyone? I'm Gary.
Maybe some brutally honest moments there.
Did you just spill something on the brand new Acorn Hills?
This is why we can't have nice things, dude.
Hey, I'm TJ. Obviously, I'm a big Ricky Fowler guy.
This man's at the range.
Listen.
Listening to Alanis Morissette.
I think we both have a pretty decent short game for not being pro golfers.
We're caught in between that average to...
Yeah, low, mid handicap.
Yeah.
Even people with two legs is difficult. Golf is hard.
Right.
Here with the Basic Bogey Fellas. This is good. This is fun.
This is all that was supposed to happen. Yep. Just to end up here with us. Yep.
Everything happens for a reason. Sat here in front of you two beautiful gentlemen.
Everybody was crowding on the green. Like, yo, let's go to the next tee.
TJ's like, no, let's go to that tee box.
Posted up real close, and there's DJ and his brother Austin.
Have a good fish fry.
And then pick up the fish fry and go.
Pick up the fish fry and go.
You just showed up with my wristband, and you're walking out with burgers, chicken sandwich, fries.
We had glizzy stuff.
We had five meals.
Easy. One of the scariest moments of my life. I forgot when you texted me. It was hilarious. I think you were like, you know what? We could use this.
That was after I had made the offer.
Oh, you already? Okay. All right. That checks out.
We're in it to win it this year, so
watch out.
We are Basic Bogeys.
Hey, everyone. We hope you enjoyed Masters Week last week. We know it's a drag getting back to work following the Masters, but we're back here today with another regularly scheduled episode. So last week, we brought on Bud Copeland for some more in-depth insights leading into the Masters. And this week, we're going to take a little bit of time to get to know Bud Copeland. We got a full interview with him, getting to know him. If you haven't seen him before, he does a morning coffee with golf news every weekday. Be sure to check out his social media. But in the meantime, let's get right into this interview.
Thanks, friends. Like you said, my name is Bud Copeland, at This Bud's For You. Make sure you include an E in there. Don't want to get sued. Anheuser-Busch copyrighted that like back in the early 80s. Lifelong golfer, new to this ecosphere of golf, the podcasting and online YouTube world, which is growing and more fascinating every day, especially with shows like this, journeys like yours, musicians, golfers, everybody kind of coming together over this one universal frustrating activity. I've been playing golf probably since I was 10, 11, 12 years old is when I started. And then I kind of got serious when I was 13, 14. Was good enough to be a good high school golfer. I'm what I call like a gym class athlete. I made varsity and all that good stuff. But nice. The first time I stepped foot on the University of Georgia course when I was there as a freshman, I was like, I'll take a peek into walk on tryouts. I'll go out there and hit some range balls and see what the other guys look like. That's when I realized I hit my ceiling, went on with life, and then kind of rediscovered a passion for golf when it was taken away from me for a couple of years. And that's when I made some life decisions to bring it back into the foray. Saw somebody on Twitter saying they wanted to talk about golf, and that's when Divots and Pivots was born. Check us out Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. live on this sports podcast network, TSPN, on YouTube, and then podcast cool. The next day. And I also post every morning, and I'm assuming it was one or the other or our good friend Nate over at Acorn Hills where he's spreading the love. Something brought us together, and I'm super fascinated to hear your stories as well, especially when somebody, TJ breaks 80. I can't wait till we actually get into the nitty-gritty of how the game's going and where you are. But thanks again, gentlemen, for having me on. I really do appreciate it. I look forward to the conversation, and now it's your turn. The ball is in your court. Who are you? Give me the quick cup of coffee. What do I need to know about your game before we get any deeper into this?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm TJ. I mean, I kind of made the
everybody
solo
else
page
knows you, but thank you for giving me
last
the
year.
Official.
Yeah. And then, I connected with Nate kind of early on. I feel like shortly after following Acorn Hills is when I just saw like your posts then with your morning coffee and your insightful feedback on. I like that you do like not just PGA Tour, but you touch on LIV, you touch on like the LPGA, and like you said, now it's the women's amateurs at Augusta this week. So it's like it's cool getting those insights of not just the PGA Tour, you know, a little bit of everything. I
appreciate
those videos
that.
And yeah.
Heck yeah.
Gary, I saw you, I picked you up on Instagram and I see a lot of music, which my brother-in-law is a sick musician. I say sick, bro. He's a sick musician bro. Out West. if you ask him, one of the first things he'll tell you is about playing the Viper Room or tuning up for the Muse in Mexico City in front of like 50,000 people. But he's a great, I would say he's a step above, if I had to make an analogy, in music, he's a step above where I am in golf. He's probably a plus handicap in music. Okay. I mean, the guy's cool. Insane, but he obviously has a real 9-to-5. Music's his passion. But when I saw music, what drew you to golf? How'd you get involved with golf? And then how's that game going?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been in music since I was literally since I could like talk. I was started singing like I was in kindergarten through 12th grade in choir. I actually was a baseball player, so I was a pitcher in college through about 93.
From the right or the left? From the right or the left?
Right, right.
Fuck.
Yeah. If I was a lefty, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, because I threw 98 from the right, but that's all I could do is throw 93 from the right.
98?
But,
I was about to say, holy shit.
I wouldn't be here if that's what it is. No, I could throw 93 literally. From the right, but I learned real quick, especially growing up in Florida, like, 6 foot, right-handed, 93. They're the rest of your herd, unless you have literally. 2-3 other pitches. Did you have some other pitches?
Yeah, no. I had my four seam. I had a cutter. I had a really good curveball. I had a good changeup. I was working on a slurve. So yeah. We actually had a pitching coach. My sophomore year of college was just out of a Detroit Tiger farm system. He's the Paul Nardozzi is his name. He's the all time strikeout leader at Pitt University and wins leader there. He came in and he showed me a grip, and basically we did P90X yoga like 4 times a week. Plus he showed me how to do like a different
90 minutes
like,
of
grip.
Just, it's not yoga.
Dude,
I
went from topping out at like 88 to literally 93 in like 4 months. It was
yoga.
Nuts. Yoga. I led the nation in junior college in strikeouts per nine. And I was tied for the wins record in the country my sophomore year. So
that's not even a medium. That's a large flex. Well done, young man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But then yoga. I just like the party. So when the SEC called my coaches and they're like, hey, what is this guy's GPA? And they're like, he can't even spell GPA. And I'm like, fuck yeah, let's get this going. But tying it all back in, I've always done music. Music was like a hobby. I literally came home to my hometown and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? I was playing in this beer league, softball league. My buddy was like, hey, my other friend runs an open mic. Come down and play. I played 3 songs. Every head in the bar like snapped around, and I've been playing for 12 years now. I was on The Voice a couple years ago. So it's like, life's wild, man.
OM goodness. And then how did golf, like how did, because again, if we're going to stereotype, which is not a nice thing to do, but they don't come out of nowhere. What you just described, you know, the baseball is where the crossover comes in. I too was a baseball player, like I said, and I had really good hand-eye coordination. So when I was introduced to golf and unlimited range balls, when my family moved from Greenville, South Carolina to Tallahassee, Florida, it was like I was 12 years old, no friends, didn't know anybody, but I had unlimited range balls and we had the Golf Channel. So I would stay at home when it was 140 degrees outside, watch Golf Channel, and then like from 4 p.m. till dark, go hit balls and then be back at 7 a.m. And that's just kind of how I picked it up. So how was it for me, it was literally because my dad played every Sunday while we went to church with mom. And then once it was like, I was bored as shit and had nothing to do, it was in front of me. So how did it get introduced into your bloodstream?
So TJ and I basically became friends because he manages the studio that I was recording my album at. And like, we have known each other like in passing through just like the hometown stuff and whatnot and mutual friends. But then we started, you know, we got close through that and we're like, TJ, he's a big golfer. And I was like, oh shit, you know, I'm one of those annoying people where I'm just naturally good at a lot of things. And I've learned that it's not, it's just, it just am. I just pick it up. And my brain's like, I know what I'm doing. We started going and we went with a couple of our other friends who are just absolute dog shit, but we love them. But him and I started like, you know, I would beat him and then he'd beat me and we'd get like real good. We'd both have really bad rounds, have really good rounds. And he's like, you know what? Fuck it. He's like, we're watching all these people online. Like, we can do this. We're funny. We're like relatable. We know what we're doing. Like the tech side, he's all about this. I just show up for comedy and you know I'm the wild card from Always Sunny, so that's what it is.
We started playing more tournaments together last year and then it just kind of was like that led to recording the cart cams and then it was like we should just film all these shots.
Your cart cam the cart cams are that's actually the guys I play with this summer, and I'm in a league every other Saturday, and what you're right, as soon as you hit that competitive now we are all really good buddies and all, you know, off the course and whatnot. My co-host Andrew, he's the production side of everything, and like you, Gary, I'm just there for morale and for talent. So no, thanks, I appreciate that little like trip down memory lane. It's always interesting to hear people's side stories, because golf is universal, like you said, TJ. In the morning when I think about it, I either, you know, just through social media or breathing, or it's organically part of my day, I'm always like watching it or thinking about it, or it's on social media feeds. I usually have something in mind, but if I don't, I wake up and I usually just Google golf, not PGA Tour, golf. And then let's see what's in the news, what happened on this day in history. Because to your point, and this is something I harp on all the time, especially about these LIV guys, is, and I went to LIV Bolton. It was right outside of Boston when it was here, and it was a phenomenal time. We got, you know, because of Divots and Pivots, we had the press passes, and, you know, it was like filet mignon and salmon for the, you know, the meals for the press center. And it was a really, really freaking dope time. Got to say hey to some guys. Paulina Gretzky bumped into us. So it was a scene, and it was fun. And having gone to an SEC school, I was like, this feels like a tailgate. You know, they got Diplo over there. We got cornhole over here. There's funnel cakes and shit. Right. You know, fundraisers. It felt really cool. What's bothered me about it the entire time, and because I love a lot of it, and I'm actually going to pay attention to this down at Doral, because Doral's a tough track, just to see who's playing, you know, well, and the equipment changes. But what bothered me was when I think these guys thought that they were bigger than the game. They were bigger than the PGA Tour. They thought that because they were feeling all this spotlight that they were the shine. And it's like, no, you were fortunate enough to get one of those slots on there. Because no disrespect to those major winners, DJ and all those guys. DJ, Brooks, they're very honest and upfront. We wanted money, more money, less work. Yeah. And if it works out that we end up back on the PGA Tour, so be it. Otherwise, we feel good about our chances getting into these majors. You know, such is life. I really have kind of, you know, a beef with Bryson and maybe even Joaquin Neiman with some of their lack of awareness, where you made a decision, but you thought that everything was just going to follow you. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why aren't anybody watching on TV? Because it's not a good product. It's a fun product, but it's not good. I mean, the PGA Tour is down 20%, you know, on the year. And Rory was even, you know, acknowledging that. And unfortunately, unlike other business cycles, I don't know. I don't know if that's my dog, Miller. Miller's actually really sweet. No, Miller and Bud, we're not like a beer family. It was really was just kind of an unfortunate selection of names until after the fact. But those 20% might not be coming back, because they might be instead getting their golf content. Again, PGA Tour wasn't the only – it was the only show on for a long time. But now YouTube's blowing up. These guys with side matches, yourself, car, you know – we're going to start consuming the sport in different ways. And so these production teams, you know, at PGA Tour and LIV and the DP World Tour, and even the USGA, they got to just keep thinking creatively, because the world's changed. The game really hasn't changed that much. You know, 18 holes, you know, fewest strokes wins. But we want to see shots. Dan Rappaport over at Foreplay does a great job of keeping track of kind of like how many shots are being shown per hour or per segment. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure everybody will be talking about it with the Masters coming up soon. Or apologies, I don't know when this airs. With the Masters and their app, you can kind of customize things and just be consuming it nonstop. So it's a bigger picture when you talk about golf, and it really pisses me off when anybody just kind of gets just a little bit out of their element. And this coming from a talking hairdo, well, hairless guy. But when you get a little out there and you lose perspective, and I think some of those guys have with their comments, and I understand it's okay to get caught up in the moment and emotion takes over. But again, guys like Bryson, dude, you're fascinating. You're an entity. But you're, you know, all of this, we got to get back together. We got to get back together. We got to get back together. You broke up with her, bro. Like, put down the boombox. Yeah. Go back to your really expensive car you bought with whatever money you sold your, you know, your rights to her for, and just go about life. And it'll time out, but it just rubs me the wrong way.
I agree. Since you asked. I mean, I think that there's a lot of I think you kind of hit the nail on the head though with especially the way that golf is being consumed, rather than just from the major channels. I mean, take a look at you know, Good, for instance. Yes. They started out as like a you know, just a bunch of kids trying to do like the internet stuff. And then who was the first like major brand that really, you're going to see these like golfing brands that scoop them up. Like now they're with Callaway because they're realizing that this is another way to reach another audience. This is how you get into it. And then the PGA notices. So now all of a sudden they're putting these guys with the PGA. It's a very smart business plan to grow the game, especially to like a younger audience that's coming into it, because this Gen Z like social media platform of everything, that's how you gain that 20% back tenfold. So I agree, and I also get frustrated. I really liked Bryson a lot.
I still do.
I do too.
Sorry,
the one thing I like the most about him, is that he's gone to kind of that social media platform. He's kind of shut up more on the course and shown a different side of him through like his YouTube channel, where you may not have seen that beforehand and be like, oh, this guy's kind of a dickhead. But then you realize like, no, he actually like, this man's on the grind, and like he's trying to make himself worth every cent of the dollars that he earns. And it's cool because I wish that he stayed. But at the same time, like if somebody, dude, there's a lot of crazy things I'd do even for $30. So you're going to tell me that like, yeah, you're going to throw a couple $100 million in front of me? I mean, Jesus.
No, it's interesting too, seeing with the like the good cup and Peacock getting behind them with that and seeing what could happen there. And then now also, I think it's airing soon, but they did all that shooting with the Visit Myrtle
3 weeks
qualifier.
Yeah, the Myrtle Beach Q.
Yeah.
The Myrtle Beach Q,
which they got,
like,
I mean,
two or
3 weeks.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the Brian Bros.
I know what FP shot.
Yeah, I saw a video came out of him the other day.
FP accidentally dropped it in one of his other videos. I think he shot a 67.
Yeah,
he shot a 67.
We got and here's what I'm dying for. And again, we're proving obviously self fulfilling prophecy. It's already on the brain. But yeah, because now all of a sudden we're thinking of, well, where's the content? What was it like the night before? What did he eat? What time did he go to bed? Did they get him drunk? Did they not get him drunk? Like, was it a struggle? Because they're at Myrtle Beach. I mean, and these are going to be, that's how it's going to go. So what's going to shrink are some of these other side mini tours. And it really is going to kind of go up again, I think. Everybody wants it. So it's going to happen. You know, you got Tiger meeting with, you know, the PIF guys down in the Bahamas.
That was so cool.
Rory is public. So cool. I loved seeing, what's his face, Malnati's kind of perspective, because he is the average Joe on that board, if you want to kind of go 100%. By personality or celebrity. And for him to be like, I win, or, you know, I make the cut at the Players, you know, great, nice little payday. And then they're like, by the way, we need you down at Tiger's place in the Bahamas. Excuse me, what? I mean, not that you really have to explain to me why or what's going on here, but, you know, my family's kind of waiting for me with their peanut butter jellies. That was the other best thing about it. But the game's going to continue to shrink upward, and it is going to go back to what. So in the, I mean, yeah, it was the late 90s, early 2000s when the WGCs came around, because people forget Tiger has 15 majors, but he won like 18 of these WGCs four times a year. Instead of the traditional routes, whether it be open or invitational, they went the data route and said the top 100 in the world or whatever the fields were, you're going to play four tournaments in a couple different formats. So we've been there before. We're going to go there again. And so that you do have this kind of mini side tour of 6 to 8 tournaments plus four majors. And that's going to be, you know, the top 50. The only problem that with that perfect little scenario, because especially the business entities would like it to go, is what we were just talking about. What if the eyeballs don't follow? What if this 20% never comes back? And then all of a sudden you're pricing things out at this level that is just, I mean, I guess they're just going to take it on the chin there. But in the short run, we are going to consume it more here because it's more accessible. And when I say accessible, also, you and I are going to talk golf, and we both play. It's that thread. It's, you know, you don't see too many people out in public when those pianos are set up at the mall or the airport. I might walk up. I know like four chords on the piano, right? I'm a gym class athlete, and a lot of things, guitar and piano are some of them. But you don't see people just randomly walk up. If you had a simulator bay just chilling at an airport, oh my God, the abuse that thing would take. And for the right reasons, because that's what it's there for. You know, try me. It's a good, it's addictive. But the point being is, golf is different from other kind of sports, hobbies, professions, however you want to put it. And I think that's what makes it special is I know how to shoot a basketball, but when I watch those guys on NBA or even, you know, with March Madness or those ladies, Caitlin Clark, I can't wait to see what she ends up doing after the tournament. But I have no frame of reference. you've made a birdie. Right. I'm assuming you've made a birdie. You made it this far. Yeah. So when you see those guys out there and you see, or ladies, and you see 7, 8, 9 of them on the card, there's something inside of you that has an ownership because of, again, the game, not the tour or whatever. There's something inside that has like, oh God, I know what that feels like. And could you imagine having that? So that makes you do stupid things like, I'm going to break 80. TJ, where are you in this journey? What is the PR and what are these next steps? And what made you go public with this? Because I will say that's bold. That's bold just to be like, the numbers will tell you. It's not the easiest thing in the world.
I mean, it just started, honestly, it kind of started. First, I found like the original GoPro. I just had it from like when I was a kid. And I started using that, just throwing it on my push cart and filming my shot and then watching them back. Just to kind of like, I guess, mental notes and watch what it actually is looking like. And then it was like, well, if I'm getting all this content, like, why do I not just edit? Like, I do audio for production for a living. So it's like, I might as well cut this together and, you know, try the content thing.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's how it kind of started. And then I noticed just filming myself with those rounds, it really started to help my swing. And I did, I had one day in June last year where I shot a 75, but it was like, everything was just on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I had like 2 rounds in the 70s, both at like my home course. So it's like, you know, I go elsewhere, it's certainly still mid 80s. But it was just, I don't know. You like Trent does his breaking 100. Now it's breaking 90. So it was
sure,
you know, break 80 was my number, but yeah, but we're both kind of like those like 10, 12 handicap golfers and we're trying to get better and better, but we do scramble tournaments, we do best ball tournaments. And now it's like, let's take the outside of the tournaments. Let's just film these scrambles and bring in some other collaborators and, you know, do foursomes and just see what we can shoot at these
courses. Definitely going to have, we're definitely going to have fun with it in the sense of like, we know that we're better than the average golfer. We're stuck in like what's the word I'm looking for?
Plateau.
No.
You're getting to like that consistent single digit handicap is tough. Yeah. That little hurdle. But
Cause we're not to the, like even the better amateur style, but we're better than the, we're like stuck in that little, I don't know, just, it's something that I know will come with time. And also it sucks because we can't like, there's like 5 months of the
lives.
Year we can't golf. Yeah. And we have day jobs. Like I'm doing music. He's doing recording. We've got so much shit going on. So we're like, that was like our big thing was like, all right, if we're going to go out there, we're going to make it fun. I don't care. It doesn't matter if we shoot like shit or if we have the best run of our lives. It's going on video. We're going to have a blast with it. And we're just going to put it out there because, you know, it's not that we're like trying to compare ourselves. I mean, that's just human nature, like compare ourselves to other people and stuff and that we're better or less than them. But it's just like something that like, okay, we both have a passion for this. Let's go have fun with it. And at the same time, let's meet some cool people. Let's see where it takes us. So we're just trying to put out like a solid quality product and then also try not to suck at golf as much.
Yeah, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to do and not, again, whether you make a birdie, you strike the ball well, you make a putt, no matter what it is, it's a dopamine hit. That's exactly what it is. And that's all there is to it. And so once you feel it once, you want to feel it again over and over and over.
So that was kind of a blast chatting with Bud. We got a lot more content coming. The interview went so, we just kept chatting with him. And we got really into golf and kind of like just his connections to Syracuse too, which was a crazy story.
Yeah, it's been the weirdest thing. I think every time we interview somebody, somebody's got a random connection to Syracuse and we still don't understand it.
Tune in again next Thursday for part 2. It's the rest of this Bud interview. We got our regular rapid fire questions. That's where we grill Bud with those. And we talk just some more golf and some plans with him for the future.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to Basic Bogeys.
If you made it to this point, we truly appreciate you listening to today's episode.
To see more of our content, be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and subscribe on YouTube. We can be found at Basic Bogeys on all platforms.
Feel free to reach out to us, give us feedback on the show, or maybe you want to collaborate. We're always looking to team up with others and continue to grow this great golf community.